All of them. continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today here at the Reedsville Church. We appreciate your presence and the effort you've made to come out and to worship with us. The Lord says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but even the more so as you see that day approaching. So he instructs us and encourages us to meet together even more often as we see the end times coming. So we're thankful for this opportunity again to assemble together on this another day that the Lord hath made. This is a day that the nation has set aside to recognize mothers, known as Mother's Day. And as I've said before, I don't suppose there's a closer relationship among human beings than mothers and their children. And so mothers are very dear to us. And we wish all that's here today a happy Mother's Day. God made Adam and he said it was not good for Adam to abide alone. So he caused him to fall into a deep sleep, and he took a rib out of his side and he made for him a helpmate. And so its life would be very incomplete, we feel like, if we had no helpmate. And we're thankful for that. We realize that there are some men and women that don't need to marry. And God says, let those then spend their time serving the Lord. And when you have a wife, it says, and then you must attend to your wife and look after things to provide for her. But if you're not married, some thinks that the Apostle Paul was not, that they could give their full time to the Lord. And we won't go into all of that. We're just thankful for the occasion to be here today. But the today is a day set aside to worship. And God in his tender mercies has shown us that the way to approach unto him is through the blood of his Son. That's the only acceptable way to be received by a holy and a just God. We have to come his way, or we are not accepted. Cain found that out in the very beginning of human history. So we are thankful. As the Lord said, if any man glory, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and he knoweth me. When I see billions of people worshiping God through some other person or other way than through Jesus Christ, I'm made to bow my head and thank him that I understand and knoweth him. And I realize that if he had left me to myself, there's no telling how I would be endeavoring to worship, if at all. So we are thankful that we have the Word of God and understanding who he is. Brother Keith, I've turned to number 103. Had you picked that one?
Yeah, 92.
92, that's all right. We'll sing that. Number 92. There's an opening hymn, and after which we'll endeavor to go to the throne of grace and beg for grace to help in a time of need. And we covet an interest in your prayers. Are there any sick that we need to make mention of? I'd like to make mention that my brother is at the point of death. He's very sick, and he's in, was in ICU, and they found out he has a contagious disease, and now they've got him in an isolation unit. And he's just skin and bones. So remember him in your prayers. He lives in Florida. And I asked his wife if she would like for me to come down there. And she said she felt like it would only add to the confusion right now. So we're just praying that he might get better, but it certainly doesn't look good. Is any other sickness? Sing, brother.
Jesus said,
your pilot me
over life's tempestuous sea. On the way he bore me both. I knew rocks and breath must show. Shore and compass come from thee. Jesus said,
your pilot me.
As a mother steals her child,
says to them, be still.
Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar, twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, fear not, I will pilot thee.
Some complain that my voice is low and they can't hear me, so instead of kneeling, I'll just bow here at the altar where the microphones are. Bow with us. Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in thy presence with hearts of thanksgiving for thy grace and tender mercies that thou hast abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Lord, we are thankful that thou hast not dealt with us according to our sins and our iniquities, but with cords of love and kindness thou hast drawn us unto thyself. And how thankful we are, dear Lord, for the precious truths that thou hast revealed to our hearts for our very own, if not deceived, O Lord, in our hearts. For we realize that the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it, saith the Lord. We realize, O Lord, thou knowest our hearts better than we know ourselves. And Lord, we realize when thou didst open up our understanding just how sinful our hearts are, and how prone we are to lean to our own understanding and not to follow after thee. Therefore, our Father, once more, we humbly bow and beg, O Lord, for the leadership of thy unerring spirit, that thou would bless us this day as we assemble together to render praise and thanksgiving, worship and adoration unto thee, the only true and living God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one, the one true and living God. And we thank thee, O God, that thou hast given all power and authority unto thy Son, who has said that all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lord, we realize how we failed in so many ways of observing those things that thou hast commanded. And yet, Lord, we feel that thy grace is sufficient, realizing that thou suffered in thine own body to put away our sins and our shortcomings. Dear Lord, we thank thee and praise thee again for thy goodness and mercy and grace. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for the church. for the Holy Bible, for the word of truth that sets us free from the designs of scheming men. We thank you again, dear Lord, for this day. We thank you for our mothers and our fathers. We thank you for this great country that thou hast blessed from sea to shining sea. Surely, O Lord, thou hast authored the foundation of this country when thou sent pilgrims here to escape the tyrants and the despots that left to rule and control the lives of men and set up a country where people are the freest that they've ever been. We thank you, dear God, for thy providential grace that has enabled us to be born in this country and at this time, that we might be enlightened by thy precious promises and have the privileges of worshiping thee according to the dictates of our own heart. Lord, once more we thank you for the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, the church of the living God. We thank you again, dear Lord, for each heart that's here today and each home, and we pray thou would bless each one as we endeavor to worship thee. Now, Lord, we pray for thy spirit to lead us, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray for our rulers and our leaders and our sons and daughters that are defending our liberties on foreign soils. And all that's our bounden duty to pray for, O Lord, we ask these favors in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We were reading different scriptures this morning at different times, and we settled on some scripture in the second epistle of Peter. We want to read a few verses and covered an interest in your prayers that we might bring out some things both new and old to the edifying of the Lord's dear children and to the honor and the glory of his wonderful name. We I think we'll start in the 16th verse. 16th verse of the first chapter of 2 Peter. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And I'm going to stop there. The subject matter continues on. But the verses that I really want to concentrate on is that there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And I think the Lord had this in mind when he said, "Blessed are they who are not offended in me." When we consider the doctrine that our Lord taught and his apostles whom he called and chose whom he would, we have a distinct teaching that is offensive to man who is led about in vanity of his natural mind. He thinks highly of himself and his own opinions, and therefore when the doctrine of Christ teaches him that he is a sinful person and by nature condemned by the law of God, and he is taught that we are conceived in sin and come forth from the womb speaking lies, they jump right up and say, "Oh no, we are innocent until we're 12 years old." And they teach pernicious doctrines that lead men into destruction as far as the way of truth is concerned. We have, of course, a lot of churches and different denominations around Winston-Salem like you do here and everywhere else. And there's a well-known preacher there that has a church school and a radio ministry of his own, a radio station of his own. And he is also on television, very popular man. And we, from time to time, when we were riding in our automobile, we listened to the different religious stations. And the other day he was on television this particular day, and he was preaching, and he read this scripture that I read where it said there would be false prophets among the people. There shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And he said that when false prophets brought in these false teachings, that they led people into falsehoods and destroyed their souls in hell. And there were many that would be in hell because of these false prophets and false teachers. And he had a whole lot more to say about that, and that's from time to time, it was several days ago, that scripture kept coming back to my mind. And if we, when we consider our condition since Adam fell and became disobedient, man is in his natural condition under the condemnation of the law. And it's not because he's heard false teachers. It's not because that he's teaching false doctrines or those things. It's because of the sinful nature that we fell into in Adam when he transgressed the law of God. And so we are by nature then the children of wrath, even as others, Scripture says. Even the children of God are born in nature as children of wrath, that is, under the wrath of God, under the condemnation and the curse of his law. And that's why the Lord Jesus died, is that he might deliver us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse. They hung him on a tree, that he might deliver us from the curse. And he, for that particular reason, took on himself a body of flesh. Jesus, as the son of Mary, was born about 2,000 some odd years ago. But Christ, the Son of God, is eternal and has always been the Son of God in eternity and always will be. But as the Son of God, he became the Son of Man, that he might put away the sins of man. That is, the sins of those that are embraced in the everlasting covenant that's spoken of in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, where the Apostle Paul said, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight." And so when the Lord Jesus came into the world, it wasn't because, unbeknown to him, man became in a condition that he needed his pity and to be rescued, but he came according to the covenant that was made between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we, of course, had nothing whatsoever to do with that. But when the Lord's bride, when those that the Father gave the Son fell in Adam, well, then the first prophecy given in Scripture was given by Christ himself when he told Adam and Eve that that he would put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and he would put enmity between the serpent's seed and her seed. And that was the first prophecy in Scripture. And we see all human history, this enmity that is between the seed of the serpent's children and the seed of God's children. And that enmity will be displayed until that final day when Lord shall appear again from heaven and that great separation shall take place that we read about in the 24th chapter and 25th chapter of Matthew. So things are working according to plan, and the Lord, when he died on the cross, he did not offer himself to man, but that would be the conclusion you'd have to come to hear most of these false prophets that Peter is talking about here. They wrest the Scriptures and teach that God has provided salvation, and it's available, but it's up to you to accept it and to apply it to yourself. And according to that, then there's nothing sure nor certain about salvation. It's all dependent on the free will of man. But God not only has done something for us when he sent his son to atone for our sins, but he didn't stop there. He sent the Holy Spirit to quicken us from a deadness in sins to a newness in life, that we might be born again of the Spirit of God, and that we might be adopted in the family of Jesus Christ. And we now have the spirit of adoption. We've not been adopted yet. These bodies haven't. But we have the spirit of adoption, the scriptures say. We already have that. Now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. But when we see him, we shall be like him. And these bodies shall be transformed and transfigured like that which Christ appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration that Apostle Peter referred to. When him and James and John went up the mountain with the Lord, it said the Lord was transfigured and his raiment was whiter than any fuller's white could whiten, and that his countenance was as brilliant as the sun. And that's pretty brilliant. You go blind if you look at the sun. And Moses and Elijah appeared there with him and spoke with him about his decease in Jerusalem that was fast approaching. And Peter, James, and John were no doubt stunned. And Peter, not knowing what to say, said, "Let us build three tabernacles, one here for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And a cloud overshadowed them, and when the cloud disappeared, nobody was there. But Jesus, Moses, and Elijah had disappeared, and out of the cloud the voice of God spake and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In one gospel it says, "Hear ye him." And so the Son of God, Moses and Elijah, were great prophets. Moses, of course, the law came by Moses. God spake with Moses mouth to mouth, it said, in different times, like he never spake with another man. And he was a great deliverer. He was sent to deliver the Israelites out of bondage down in Egypt. And in that, he was a great type of Christ, who is our great deliverer. And just as God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel, there was much contention with Pharaoh before that took place, but Moses delivered them. And Christ also has delivered his people. And he has said that he would not lose one of them. All that the Father giveth him should come to him, and all that cometh to him he would in no wise cast out. And he says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." So our Savior is successful in his atonement and did not fail. He did not offer salvation to man. He did not offer himself to man, but he wrought salvation for his people, and he offered himself to God without spot and without blemish or any such thing, just as the little lambs that were types of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. They could not have a blemish. They couldn't be blind or lame or any obvious blemish when they were chosen out of the flock for the Passover, to be killed at the Passover lamb. They could not have any blemishes because they were types